Good morning to everyone. It's a great morning because sometimes you greet someone on the road, say good morning. See, what's so good about a morning? The answer is that it's so good because God allowed you to see another day. Before I open the word of God, shall we go before the throne of grace and pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day that we could rejoice and be glad in it. Those who are tied, that the dead cannot praise thee because they have no life. But we who are alive, both those who knew your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Savior, and those who haven't realized that they need a Savior in their life, you allow them to see another day that we could say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So, Heavenly Father, as about to read, to bring the gospel, bring your word, that your word will fall upon good ground, that will realize how important it is for your word. Because your word is life, it is health, and it's in your word. It reminds us there is life and death. It's a choice we have to make in life. Because your word reminds us, see, I have set before you good and evil, life and death. It's all up to us to make a wise choice. Like I always say, life without the Lord is a losing game. We pray that, Heavenly Father, that your word will find good ground even now. And even before the meeting comes to a close, all will say it was wise to be here. So, Father, we put the meeting into your hand. Do for us what we are not able to do for ourselves. We ask this in no other name, but in the wonderful name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, what I want to do, you know, whenever I come to bring the word of God, I always like to go to various passages in the scripture, various scripture verses. But this morning, though I prepare my message, since Brother Wilson told me, well, on the 16th of this month, I would start bringing the message. And I went home. And the message I prepared, while sitting there, it just reminds me, I just changed it. It's not me in the Spirit of God. And the question I like to ask says, the answer, God's calling, where are you? Where are thou? God calling us, God calling you, like mostly everyone here have a cell phone, I show. We make calls. Sometimes we intend to call somebody and we touch a wrong number. It goes to someone else. And we say, I'm sorry. But God does not make mistake when he dial his number. There is no mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. And today he calling you. There's a time, many of us here, we heard the call, we respond to the call. And because we respond to the call of God, many of us could stand there, here right now, and share the word of God with you. Share the word of God with you. The first portion of scripture I would like to read. Psalms 50, verse 5. Psalms 51, 5. Psalms 51, verse 5. It read, "Behold our shape in iniquities, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Is there anyone among us that will doubt that? We, even our mother that gave birth to us, she was shaped in iniquities. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You may want, if you want, you may doubt it. But it's not my words. It's the word of the Lord. We have in Matthew 24, the 35. I'll go back to my words. I'm just showing you the proof that God's word is true. Matthew 24, verse 35. It reads, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away." So when we come to the word of God, there is no joke. There is no maybe. There is no I think. There is nothing to think of. Just take the word of God. Take the word of God. Now we're going back to Psalms 50, verse 5, 51, 5. Says, "Behold, I will shape iniquity." Is there anyone in our midst here that could say, "I'm not a sinner"? I am not a sinner. If you're not a sinner, you don't need a savior. Now, if you say, "I'm not a sinner," you are not upon the earth. The one that could say, "I'm not a sinner," is the one that haven't born yet. But from the moment you take your first breath, you are a sinner. You know why? Because from creation, when Adam was in the garden, he had a good fellowship with the Father, because the word of God tells us in the cool of the day, God will come down and communicate with them. Fellowship with them. But since he disobeyed God, that relationship had to be broken. And God came down. God knew what would happen. Call Adam. "Adam, where are thou?" Why, before sin entered into Adam, God didn't have to call Adam, "Where are you?" And that's why God's call, "Where are you? Where are you?" So from Adam we inherit that sinful nature. We cannot say that we are not a sinner. We are not a sinner. Sin brings death. Sin brings death. And people like to say, "Well, when I die, that's the end of it. I finish." That's what the world or the devil makes us believe. But that's not the end of it. That's not the end of it. Hebrews 9:27 reminds us that as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You may ask yourself, when the word of God, when the word of God says, after this, after what? What's this he referring about? The this referring to, you see, the life which we're living in right now, physical life. That's not the end of life. That's not the end of life. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be in trouble. Because there is life after death. Sometimes we do sing a gospel song. Life at best is very brief. Like a falling of a leaf, like a binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, and the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Be in time, be in time, while the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Don't let your cry be too late. Never let your cry be too late. Jesus is waiting at the door. Jesus wants to settle the sin matter with you. But if you never come to him, that matter will never settle. He wants to settle the sin matter with you. Remember Psalms 51:5 tells us, behold our sheep in iniquity. Can you look back and say to the one that sits next to you, I'm not a sinner? We cannot say that. We all a sinner. We all in the same boat, born in the same on the same broad road. But thank God for his marvelous work in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us, we have put a change in our life. We have put a change in our life. Then, because of that great change, we can rejoice this morning. Because what that was hanging above my head, Jesus paid a price for my sin and for your sin. And because the price has been paid, we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our sin bearer. He is our sin bearer. By him, through him, we have great access to come to the Father. There again, we have in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 14. James 4:14. It reads, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? He asks a question, what is your life? Some may say, well, I have a good life. I live my life. I'm not sinning. I could go wherever I want. I'm a good person. I never have any problem with no one. Sometimes you'll hear so many different answers. People will ask. People will give an answer because they feel we are good. And something again, when someone passed away, the person could be the worst person in the neighborhood. Then you'll say, well, that person is a good, he was Mr. So-and-so, he used to do that, he used to do this. But then you'll hardly say he's a born-again believer. They always say, what that person capable of doing, what she was doing, she was a, yeah. But the word of God tells us, all our goodness, it's just like filthy rags in the sight of God. Because if I could have done good enough to be in heaven, why Jesus has to die? Just think of it. Why Jesus has to die? Jesus died because there is nothing good in me. There is nothing good in me, because that's what Psalms 51:5 tells us. And there in the book of James, it asks us a question. What is your life? Then put it to yourself. Just say that. Like that. What is my life? What is my life? The life that we think we are so good. My neighbor is a bad person, you know. But I'm not like him. I'm not like her. Okay? We always find some fault in somebody. But we, it I, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. I'm good. There is nothing in me. But sometimes you just pass. You see that person? He's a thief, you know. But I'm so good, I always find something to say on that, on my neighbor. But there James tells us, whereas ye know not, shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then what? Then vanisheth away. That's the life which we are living upon the face of this earth. That's the life. We have no guarantee. We have no assurance. The only assurance we have, the hymn writer put it in a song like that, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of blood, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all along. Bless, okay, it goes like that, you know the chorus. That's the assurance. Assurance can be only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in me. Not in me. It isn't because I stood on a pulpit, I preached, bringing the word of God. Say, brother is Edmund. He's a good man. It isn't because my name ends with Edmund to say I'm a good man. It is not. I'm a sinner. But thank God I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. Saved by God's grace. Then, I want to go with 3G. Three portion of scripture that start with G. The first one we have in James. James 4:14. The second one is John 3, verse 36. John 3, 36, the gospel, says, for God sent his son. See, okay? He that have the son, he that believeth on the son of God, hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, it makes a difference. There's a big gap. There's a left and a right. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You see, everlasting life could be only received when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. It is not because you're doing good, you're a good person, you're helping your neighbor. Where is that? It's good to be. But right now, sometimes you meet somebody on the road, you cannot even help them. You know why? Because a lot of young folks don't want to work. They don't want to work. Now, you cannot afford to feed a lazy man. They have to work. Because the word of God reminds us, by the sweat of thy brow, you shall eat bread. So some want you to sweat, and they want to eat bread. They don't want to sweat. You believe, you have. You don't believe, you condemn. Like I always say, God does not send anybody to hell. Because God loves us. He made us in his image and his likeness. He could have made the animals like he made human beings. But he makes us different. Why? Because he loves us. Jesus didn't die. God did send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for cow, for mule, for donkey. No. Jesus died for you and me. Because God, in his creation, he made us in his image and likeness, but men stray away from God. And he still loves us. He proved his love towards us, showing us that he so loves us, even though we're going astray, but he's still going to make a way that we could come back to him and have sweet fellowship with him. Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 1:12, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God." Now the question you may ask yourself, since I'm a good person, I good, so why Jesus has to die? Why does scripture have to say, "But as many as receive him"? There is something wrong. Because we're going astray. Now, since we're going astray, we need someone to draw us, to bring us back to God. And that "many as receive him," that him referring to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus who could bring us back to God, to the Father. Only Jesus. Because his word reminds us, he tells us, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But by me. Not the preacher. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. As our brother read before breaking of bread this morning, Isaiah, he says, "He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." We were astray. We couldn't find our way back. But thanks to the Father who sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to fetch the lordship. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Only Jesus could have led us back to the Father. Only Jesus. There is no one else. Only Jesus. Then, the third G. Job 36 verse 18. The book of Job. Job 36 verse 18. It reads, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then the great ransom cannot deliver thee." My friend, my brother, My dear fellow believers, my sister, my brother, sinner friend, many a times I've been attend funeral, especially I don't want to name nothing, but they always say, Mary will pray, Saint Peter will pray, Saint Paul will pray, that he will take, or even Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, will take that body and present to Jesus to give that person, that body, a passage to enter into heaven. But one thing we do know, Satan doesn't miss when he sends his dart. He's a professional. He knows every corner, every single spot. When he sends his dart, he goes straight. And if we do not accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we say goodbye to this earth, nothing cannot be, there's no rearrange, there's no makeover. Our makeover is right now. Right now. If we fail to do it, don't wait when we in that coffin. Say, I'll pray for that body. God will take that body to heaven. Like I always say, what you sow, what you reap. The way you make your bed, that's the way you're going to sleep on it. So there is no middle way. There is only one way. Either you make things right with Jesus, or you say no to Jesus. There isn't any other way. There isn't any other way. It tells us, because there is wrath, it's a warning, my friend. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Jesus, who died to save you and me, if you die when you die in your sin condition, there is no repentance after death. There is no repentance after death. My friend, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. And you may ask yourself, which way you talking about? The way to heaven. He alone who could have unlocked the gate of heaven and let us in, let you in. Job warning. It's a warning to each and every one of us. We cannot live our life upon the face of this earth and say, I'm a good person. I used to help people. I used to help my neighbor. It's good. It's good to help. But if I could help myself, just like I could help my neighbor, I could help myself to enter into heaven. But we cannot do it. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Sometimes we intend to say, well, when we, especially if you have not known Christ as your Savior, you always say, God is good. God is good, yes, good. It's good. It isn't because of good, the goodness of God, that we can live our life the way we want and says that God is good. It is, yeah, God is good because he died for you and for me. Sometimes we have the Bible. It's very important. It is very important. Every single word that's in it. It's very important. You know, because it's so important, there is something it reminds us of. The B-I-B-L-E. It simply reminds us of basic instruction before leaving earth. It tells us that. It gave us instruction. So there is no way for when we stand before God for us to say, God, I didn't know. We have the Bible. All the instruction is in it. And the more we study the Bible, the Holy Spirit will reveal more to us. It will reveal more to us. So I pray that we will continue to look, don't look upon my, upon me. I'm guilty. There is nothing good in me. Because I look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith. Then every single person look unto the Lord. In him is life, and there is abundant life. That's what the word of God reminds us. Jesus tells us, I come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. So we pray that even the meeting come to a close, do not put a deaf ear. Listen to the word of God. Because why? Again, there is three things I want you to remind you. Just to remind you of. We all will face death. Except, well, if Jesus come right now, we are going to face it. Because he says, death is sure. Sin the cause. Christ the cure. In spite of all what's going on, they still have a way to escape. Jesus make it very clear. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come now, before it's ever too late. Shall we close in prayer? Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for your word. We pray, dear Lord, that your word will not return to you void. And every moment, every minute, every hour that your word been preached, Father, you put a responsibility upon the hearers. So on that judgment day, Father, there is no way that it utter a word to you, because they know your word, they heard your word. But because they reject your word, Father, you have not come send your son to destroy or to reject the word. Jesus could clearly say, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that your word will touch one in our midst even right now, that they may come to know your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is life eternal. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.